Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not from... G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing Golden Slipper Day there at Rosehill Gardens. 5 Group 1s contested on the card. And of course, William Reid Stakes Day with 11 of the best on the program, with the Yarra Valley Cup added to it, if you don't mind, Botter. Boys, how are we doing?
Good. First of all, happy birthday, Ben. I don't know if the listeners would know, but it's Ben's birthday today.
How about that?
So get that out of the way.
He's really just been immersing himself in birthday week celebrations, and I love it. He's just been going out to dinner every night. I'm all about
it. It's real Nico sort of stuff.
It's real. It's he's learned from the best spot, one could say.
You have birthday month.
It's definitely been a birth week.
Birthday year for me. Just celebrate every day that you're alive.
Oh, gee, your head is so far up your ass. It's not funny.
My head severely fucking hurts right
now.
I've done book work for the last 4 hours, and I haven't sat in a classroom and absorbed information like that for like 7 years, and I couldn't think of anything worse. I don't want to do it for another 7. My head wants to explode.
This is getting a bit ridiculous now. Punters, just to let you know, it's 9:50 p.m. at night. The fourth quarter of Carlton Hawthorne has just started, and it's actually a decent game for once, which I wasn't expecting, and I'm missing out on it. But anyway, the things we do. The things we do for podcasting.
Yeah, just for you, boys.
And it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Let's get straight into it, because I don't want to be going to sleep at midnight tonight, and that's probably what's going to be happening. Mooney Valley track. Yeah. We'll start where we usually do. The rail goes back to the true position, and it's currently a soft 5. We've had a decent amount of rain, probably, I don't know, it came down in one large dump sort of this evening, so that might have only been about 8 mils, so it would be genuine soft at the moment, but there is clear days coming up, Friday and Saturday, so
it's no more rain coming.
I think it'll still be a soft 5 tomorrow. I think there is a good chance we'll get back to a good 4 eventually. Haven't had a walk of the track myself just yet, but sort of what I'm hearing is that there's nothing wrong with the inside at the moment. We've had lots of racing with the rail in that sort of 5+ position in recent meetings, so there's a bit of traffic out there. I would default to you want to be in the inside sort of lanes to begin with, but who knows, if this track is soft and it starts to break up on the inside, then we never know what's really going to happen. But yeah, I think the Valley will be playing fairer than what it has been with the rail out. Any thoughts?
But, yeah, I think this is the true the fairest that Mooney Valley will get with the rail on the true.
All right, sweet. But is there any way to get that mic a little bit louder?
I can talk louder.
Why do you look like talk you're in louder. Someone's kitchen, Bot?
Because I'm watching the footy with my mate.
Yeah, okay. That's another cover story. We're gonna start opening a betting market cover stories with Bot each week.
Yeah. Bingo. Mate might be code for missus.
Yeah, well, no, it's just a fantastic bingo card. We just get a new excuse every week. It's fantastic.
I can show you if you'd like.
Yeah, well, you can't talk. You're the reason why we're starting this podcast at nearly 10 p.m.
Yeah, well, so. now I can drive the boat when we're out in the yacht after we spend it all on the VS Sustainer winnings on the weekend. So why are you complaining?
I don't know why this had to happen at 9 p.m. at night.
Because I'm going away in 2 weeks. I didn't. There was none others near me. Don't worry. I didn't want to have to do it, but some things have just got to be done.
All right. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's back winners.
Bot wants to start in race 3. It is 1:20 p.m. It's a 1,200-meter benchmark 78. Top Caliber, $3.10. Pivot City, Return Galden, got the win last start, $6.50. LOU. Usually Frosty would be riding this horse for his old mate Scotty Cameron, but it's Fred Kersley on top, $7. Prancing Spirit, $8. And Odinson, $12. Where have you gone to here to find a bet, Wilbur?
Yeah, of course, Frosty's up in Sydney for the Golden Slipper. Mm. But I'm not on at the moment, and I'll probably wait for a better price, but I really, really like this horse, Top Caliber. I love what the market did with it last start. It's a half-brother to Artorias, actually, so... It was bought for about $1 million and Chris Waller couldn't get it to go, so they've given it to Alex Ray, and the market smashed it first up of a good rating at Adelaide, and I want to be with it, probably take 350 or better, and I'm pretty comfy with that, so that the good way to kick off the day at Moody Valley on Saturday, I think, Top Caliber.
Yep. Map, where do you think it might settle?
Oh, I mean, I don't really mind. There's a bit of speed, but it'll find its way across. I don't like to overthink these sorts of things with big, massive fields, you know. It probably just comes across. If it sits in the 3-wide running line, then I think that's perfect. So I don't really mind about the map for this horse. I think I wouldn't like this sort of horse in between runners or caught up on the rail. So I think being drawn out in a big field with a bit of pace on, at the valley in the rail true position, I think that's perfect for him. So I'm pretty keen. I'm not backing the price now. I have it about $2.90-ish. So that's a good enough price for me on Saturday, about $3.50.
All right, let's move on to race 5. It is the Yarra Valley Cup, 2,040 metres, benchmark 100. Zer Yabba is $3.70 favourite from Dashing Duchess, $4.60. Fortune, $5.50. Golden Crusader, $9.50. Independent Road, $10. My Brother's Keeper, $10. Wine Glass Bay, $11. And I had to get down to Keats, $13 for the lads. Will, race 11 on the card. It has been added, the Yarra Valley Cup. It's gone from 1,950 metres to 2,040 metres. So take note there, punters. Where was your angle here?
Well, my angle here was that the pace of the race last time for Zer Yab was absolutely perfect for him. And I think you've got to forecast him running to a career peak in Australia, at least up to 2,000 metres. And you could do that. But I just think Dashing Duchess getting to 2,000 metres is absolutely, or staying at 2,000 metres, sorry, is perfect for her. And I can just see her running to a career peak and... And yeah, I'm pretty keen on her at $5. I think that's a great bet. I'm not massively against Zer Yab, but $3.80 for it looks well short, and pretty much market the rest of them. So I'm pretty happy to be with Dashing Duchess in the fifth event, the Yarra Valley Cup. Hello? What's going on? Ben, you're on mute, mate.
Sorry, lads, let me start that again. Race 6 we get onto now. The first of the black type races that we're going to take a look at, it is the Group 2 Alistair Clark Stakes over 2,040 metres. Chanois, $2.60 favourite from Emphasize, $4.60. Opening address, $6. Imperialist, $9.50. In Statuario, $10. For me, one of the better bets of the day is Chanoine. I just really love what he's done in his last few starts. Probably should have been on him last start and a little bit keener than what I was, but he's just a horse who maps unbelievably well here. Recent ratings do have him on top from his last two starts, and he just has to extend that form out to 2,040 metres, and he's definitely the one to beat, in my opinion. But I will be having a saver on opening address. Again, I'm spewing I missed the opening price all in for this horse. I think it was $15 into $11. Now you're asked to take a top price of $6.50. But this is a horse who won the Moonee Valley he ran second in the Moonee Valley Vars to Red Aces on Cox Plate Day. And I think he's come back pretty well. He's definitely looking for this trip, whereas Red Aces has been a little bit average. So, yeah, that's the way I'm going to play the race. Will.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's clearly on top, and I think he maps to lead. And I think that'll be, you know, in this race specifically, I think that's where you want to be, just keeping out of trouble. Ethan Brown's probably just about the best jockey at the meeting alongside Craig Williams, and I'm pretty happy to back him at about $3. $3 is the price I want. He's $2.80 now, so hopefully Saturday. I'm against Emphasize.
Yeah, I agree.
He was strong into the headwind. He got a bit keen, so you can see him bouncing back. But of 28 days, I think he's the one that you can sort of oppose at the price he is. And I thought Imperialist sort of got shuffled back a little bit further than it may have wanted in the Autumn Classic and ran some nice splits, better splits than what Chanoine did, albeit Chanoine did a bit more work than him in the run. I could just have something small on him just to chop out on Chanoine if I do get the $3 that I'm looking for on Saturday. So Chanoine, Imperialist.
Great. Nico, are you chiming in as well?
Yeah, I'm happy to back Chanoine with you boys for all the reasons outlined.
Nico?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Loud and clear. Yes, Chanoine, we can hear you. The noise your car is making is louder than what you're speaking, but that's all right. We'll make do.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll go on mute after.
Ben's got his fucking. Ben's on mute. Nico's in a car.
Chanoine will be winning the race. That's all you need to know.
All right, let's move on. Yeah, it's been an absolutely awful start to this podcast, but I'm trying to watch Carlton like just disappoint me once again at the same time as doing this, and on top of that, it's getting too late and I'm falling asleep. But anyway. Excuses for the week. Let's move on to race 7. Alexandra Stakes, 1,600 metres. Group 3 for the 3-year-old fillies. 2 Darn Lizzie. Well, she was awesome last start. She's got to carry the 59 kilos here. She's $3 favourite from Gala Queen, $4.80. Sneaky Sunrise is $5. Phenom is $7. And Killer Cap is $7.50. I don't think we had any official bets here, but do you potentially have any lean here, Bot?
Yeah, I thought the 2 Darn Lizzie would roll to the front and lead. I think $3 is short enough, and outside of that, I couldn't have a bet in the race unless they tried to roll forward on Qatar's Choice, but it's not a race I'm really too interested in. I think Gala Queen's a nice horse. It's been running some big splits, but it just needs to – its form just isn't quite there yet, but it'll settle more forward here, I think. So, but yeah, at the price, it's a bit short for me, so no interest in this race really at this point.
All right. No worries, let's move on then. We won't waste any time. Race 8, it's the Sunline Stakes, 1,600 metre group 2 for the fillies and mares. Very even field in the market reflects that. Molly Bloom, $5. Grinzinger Bell, $5.50. Road to Arataki, $6. Quintessa, $7. Another Profit's also $7. And So Glamorous is $8.50. A lot of usual suspects in this field, Bot, but you found the 1,000 Guineas winner, I believe.
Yeah, the mares form, they just sort of take their turns. They're not rating especially strongly. The race that Jenny Lala won, the Mannerism, they all sort of come through the two main races, and it's just kind of junk form really. And Another Profit improved back on top of the ground at Flemington from the CUNY, and got too far out of her ground, can settle more forward from barrier 3. And if she runs the rating she ran in the 1,000 Guineas, she'll beat these, and $7.50 is a great price to find out. So I am going to be backing Another Profit. I think it's a great bet. Beautiful. I could probably back Green Zinger Bell as well, just to get control and roll forward. It pulled up with a poor recovery last time. So, but main bet in the race will definitely be another profit. I think it's a nice bet.
Easy. Well, what's your main leaning with this horse? Because I don't know. She probably hasn't really gone on with it yet, given she's a Group 1 winner. You just think she's warming up to another win?
I just think she's a, you know, she was, yeah, she's just sort of, I don't know, she's been there or thereabouts, but she was better than what it looked and what the form on paper sort of seemed last time. And, you know, that rating alone puts her in front of most of these. And I think she can go better and settle more forward from an inside gate with Ethan Brown on. So it just, yeah, I think she's about a $4.50 chance. So I'm pretty keen on her.
Great. All right. Let's move on to race 9, which is obviously the day's feature. It is, of course, the Group 1 William Reid Stakes. We're celebrating 100 years of the race this year. 1,200 metres, weight for age. Jimmy Starr, $3 off the Oakley Plate. Win from She's Bulletproof, $5. Benedetta, $6. Schwartz, $8.50. And Stretton Angel, $9.50. Rounds out the horses in single figures. I will quickly get up my speed map that I worked on for all of 5 to 6 minutes earlier. Today I did have Schwartz finding the lead. Arabian Summer's got plenty of speed and she'll come across. Reserve Bank will probably find the 1-1. Mahaba just in the box seat. Ray Magnerio I've got actually holding the next spot on the fence. She's Bulletproof outside him. It's going to be really interesting if Jimmy Starr can be closer than what I've got him, which is 4 back the rails. If he can be a little bit closer, that's great. If he can't, he might be in a spot of bother, to say the least. Benedetta will be outside him, and Stretton Angel, well, I think you just have to have her mapping back to last. Will, did you have a bet here?
No, I haven't. It's a pretty tricky race to get off the market with. I think the map's interesting, and I sort of thought about it a whole lot, and then I thought, like, there's no point overthinking this, and who really cares? I think a possibility is that Jimmy Starr can... He has gate speed. They just don't really use it. So I thought what could happen is he might just, or Ethan, what Ethan Brown should do is he should just try and stick to the outside of Mahaba straight from the gates and the rest of them sort of work themselves out around him so he can be off fence. But, you know, that might not eventuate. But if he can do that and he's sort of 3 back, 1 off, then I think it's just about all over. But you're right. I think Schwartz does lead. Reserve Bank probably gets the box seat. Arabian Summer either leads or sits outside. Schwartz can be slow away, so I think he'll probably be dug up. And She's Bulletproof probably finds the 1-1, maybe could possibly gets caught 3 wide. Stretton Angel settles last. So, you know, it's trouble for her. And Benedetta, who was good in the new market and was unlucky, got held up at a key stage of the race. She sort of, if Jimmy Starr doesn't have the gate speed to stick with Mahaba early, then she probably settles outside him, and then it's trouble for Jimmy. Especially if they go slowly, it's massive because it'll be tightly, they'll be tightly packed, and he won't have room to get out. He can't jump over them. So, I don't know. It depends on price. If I get $3.50 Jimmy Starr, I'm probably going to be backing him. If I get $8, $9 Benedetta, I'll be on her. If I get like $18, I'll be probably backing Arabian Summer. But yeah, it's a tricky race really, but it's a good one, and I'll be looking forward to watching it. And I'm excited about Jimmy Starr. And I just think what happened really with the Oakley Plate, it was a northerly, it was up and in, but he had a really nice run there, even though it was up and in, and it's just a completely different scenario here over 6 furlongs around the valley. So what Ethan Brown should do is just try and stick to Mahaba, but you know, that depends on if the horse can go, you know.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting, and the reason why we spoke so much about the map there for a couple of minutes is because so often these Groupon sprints around the valley are decided by the map. Mm. We've seen it happen to Bivouac. I think he drew 1 or 2 in a Manicato. He was just something lip there, just couldn't get a crack at them. And that could eventuate with Jimmy Starr here. If it doesn't, and if he does get the breaks, then I think he's one of the best sprinters in Australia at the moment. And that weapon turn of footy showed to run down Cheese Bulletproof was scintillating. But all it takes is to be held up for 50 metres at the Valley and you lose all your momentum. And the likes of She's Bulletproof, Benedetta and the like can swoop and capitalise on that. For full disclosure, I do have – we've set ourselves up pretty well on the sixth day. If you want to jump on and try and get some early prices, jump onto the App Store. We've got $5 Jimmy Starr. We've got $15 She's Bulletproof. And we've got $9 Benedetta. Quickly go through them. Jimmy Starr, as I said, if he gets an out, then he's clearly the one. He's the best horse in the race. He's been kept fresh for this, and up to 1,200 metres is suitable. She's Bulletproof is definitely one who can capitalise if he is held up in traffic. And we know she's run well at the Valley a couple of times before. It would be awesome to see Charlotte Littlefield get a Group 1 win with this horse. It's a horse that her and her partner have actually bred, and there's been a few of those. Mowdown is another one. So that would be a really cool story. And, of course, I don't think there'll be a dry eye at the Valley if Daniel Stackhouse can win his first Group 1 on Benedetta. It's been a long time coming, and he's too good a jockey not to have won one yet. She's been very unlucky, I would say. She ran okay in the Lightning. Didn't really suit her. Wrong part of the track on soft going, and then in the Newmarket, she was held up something rotten, never got a crack at them. So I really like Barrier 6 for her. And yeah, she can certainly win the race. Stretton Angel was going really well, and she loves getting a toe in the track, but she's going to go back to last. And I just don't think circling them 4 and 5 wide from all the way back there will be the trick, but we'll soon find out. Nico, I'll come to you now, mate. You're calling this a two-horse war.
Yeah, I think there's only two possible winning chances in this race. I'm hoping that Jimmy Starr's not Shades of Bivouac. I'm hoping it's Shades of Master Crusader. Brownie has just gonna... It's going to be a tough watch, as are most sprint races at the Valley, if you're not on the leader, or sometimes if you are on the leader. He's going to be called up, and he's either going to get the gap and he's going to win, or he's probably going to be a moral beaten. That's just exactly what's going to happen with how this map's going to unfold. He just has to be called up, ready to sprint off a dime. I'm confident the gap will come. Brownie is riding in really good form. I trust him to take the gap when it arrives, and I think he'll be too good. And I think the horse that is going to be the big winner if he is running up arse the whole straight is She's Bulletproof. I think she gets a good barrier draw for her. Charlotte has alluded to in the past that she's a horse that goes better on the outside of horses. Sometimes she can be claustrophobic when she's cuddled up inside, such as when she got beat at Geelong. The barrier draw is perfect for her. She's going to be able to blend into the race, possibly even go forward and have a prominent position early if Craig sees fit. And, yeah, as you alluded to, it'd be great for her to get her first Group 1 with a horse that obviously means so much to them. She's been a good horse to me over the journey, and I think, I've backed Jimmy at $5 and I've backed She's Bulletproof at $8. And, I think that the race is there. I'd be surprised if something else was to win.
Yep. Sweet. The only thing to note is Charlotte didn't want a lot of rain to come. She says she is a significantly better horse on top of the ground. So I don't think we're going to get enough.
I don't think it's going to be worse than a $5.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon we'll get back to a 4.
Good day of weather tomorrow. Good day of weather Saturday. Like, just good natural rain. Like, it might just be a good 4.5. Yeah. Perfect for everyone else.
You heard it here first. A good 4.5 is what we're calling it. Race 10 is the Don Casbolt Stakes. This is previously the Typhoon Tracy, for those who are familiar with that race name. Got a switch to a previous chairman. Clean Energy is the $3.10 favorite from Scalato, $5. Amelita, $10. Just like Gabby, she's trying to do things just like mum and win feature races at the Valley. She's also $10. Michaela's $10. And of course, the key scratchings were both London's image and more so certain rise. Will, you're back in the map horse here.
Oh, I don't know if it's a map horse. I think it's just a good horse. I think Scalato. I don't think she was suited by the straight last time. She got a bit keen. Didn't quite know what she was doing. The slowly run race down the straight. And I think that the higher pressure race around the valley should iron out those sort of kinks. And I think that she is a really, really nice horse. And Clean Energy's got a tricky map. Less so now than with London's image coming out of the race. So that's important. But I think that she can roll her again. I don't know about Clean Energy. I thought she was good first up, but she might just need one more because, you know, she had a long break and she has had her issues. Obviously, she's a big horse. And I just think Scalato is a better bet at the price. So Scalato is a bet for me in race number 10 at the Valley.
Any concerns with she's still been racing a little bit green and laying in and laying out? Any concerns with that around the valley?
Oh, I mean, of course, but, you know, I think that the biggest thing last time was she just got so keen. And she didn't really like this, the slowly run race, but with the higher pressure, I think that'll sort of iron those kinks out. And she wouldn't have time to think about getting keen. She'd just be sprinting the whole way. So I don't really mind. I think, $6 was the price I took. So,
yeah. Happy with sweet. That. I'm a little bit grey on the race. If Clean Energy had drawn a barrier, I think I probably would have been on her. She initially drew 16. I think it's only full field of 14 or 15 around the valley. So she's into 13 now, and one of the other main leaders in London's image is coming out. She's going to improve from a fitness perspective off the last start, but is she going to be caught wide in the early part? Maybe. I don't know. It just greyed me up enough for me to stay out for the time being. Scalato is definitely a great winning chance into sort of $5. Just like Gabby hasn't put down a big rating yet, but I just every time you dismiss the track and trip form, it can often come back to bite you with horses who consistently run well around here. And she, her Mooney Valley form this prep includes a second to Documentary, who's not a bad horse, and two wins. So, yeah, bot saying she's not any good. I wouldn't be surprised if she outperforms that SP. Let's move on to race 11. It is the Casper's Pies and Pastries Handicap. Time honored. 1,200 meter benchmark, 96 to round out the card. My Temptations, $3.10 favorite from Hedge, $5.50. Extra $2, $7 and Moby Dick, $7.50. I've got a bit of clarity here. Late in the day, race 11, inside starting to break up. We've got a horse who is unbeaten 2 out of 2 first up. He beat a horse named Headwall last preparation first up from a seemingly impossible position. You had Barrakeel in that race. You had Nadal in that race. And it wasn't a soft track, so any rain around will really help him. His name is Moby Dick. He's number 12.
Oh, what are you talking about, Hedged?
No, not on Hedged. Hedged is wearing thin with me. No, I'm on Moby Dick, and I think he's one of the better sort of each-way bets at the price. I just love what he did first up last preparation, and I was one who was – I don't know if you remember, Bob, but we were poo-pooing the trials.
Oh, God, that was so embarrassing.
And the jump-outs, and yet again, he hasn't really jumped out that flash, but I'm just going to ignore them and – sort of more focus on the fact that he gets in with 53 kilos. He's drawn to get that swooping unimpeded run, and I think he's going to be flashing at him late. So I'm happy to have something each way on him, but I think you just have to have a saver on My Temptation, who is clearly flying. You can't really knock it. Was a good win last start. Does need to lift his rating to be winning a race like this, but he can certainly do it. Extra 2 is a great Mooney Valley horse, but she's drawn in hell in barrier 1 unless Ethan Brown gets a split. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy to back Extra 2 each way and just have a little saver on My Temptation. All right.
Going to Sydney?
Yes, let's go to Sydney. Nico, while I load up Sydney, do you have any funny stories for the listeners? It's been a very blasé podcast so far.
Did you ask for me? Sorry.
Yeah, give us. What are you doing? You're driving home right now.
I'm getting a coffee as we speak, going through a drive-through.
It's quarter past ten at night, and you're getting coffee.
I've got form notes to write for the radio.
This is as good as podcasting gets, honestly.
I've got form notes to write for radio.
This is an absolute shambles. Anyway, turn yourself back on mute. I thought you were going to like give us something good, but anyway. Rosehill Gardens. The track is, well, it was absolutely cast last week because the inside 10 lanes were off. I don't know if you're watching, but the rail goes out 3 meters, but I would still suggest the fence might be a little bit off, which is going to be very interesting for a lot of races, the slipper included, with horses who have drawn low and might not be able to get out into those better lanes. We are going to start in race four. It is the Derby Munro. Autumn Glow is $1.90. Favorite from Ikasara, $9. Enrich, $9.50. Gangster Granny, $12. And Sergeant Major, $17. Well, a lot of people haven't been that impressed with Lady Shenandoah, remarkably. What? They've all been telling me that Autumn Glow is still the best. She's been falling in bot. It hasn't been impressive. She's only just beaten Lady of Camelot and Firestorm. And everyone in the world wants to tell me that I'm wrong and that Autumn Glow is the best filly in Australia. Well, I want to see it here and I'm going to be with her. First up, 1,200 metres off a bit of an injury break. Yes, those are the small little queries, but she has had a couple nice trials. Just typical Waller, hasn't done a whole lot in them, but has moved like a very good horse. And I know she's probably not a 1,200 metre horse in time, but I just think she just takes on the B graders here and she should lap them. She's probably going to be targeting an Arrowfield sprint after this. So she'll just stick to 1,200 metres this preparation and then maybe in the spring she will stretch out more. But keep her to two runs this prep is what Chris Waller is saying. She maps beautifully from barrier three. Might just need to find an out at the right time. But I think she's got panels on this lot from a class perspective. I'm happy to back her. And if you're not happy to take that price, then maybe you can double it with race five. It's a Rambit Stakes, 2,000 metres, group one weight for age, Via Sestina. It's into $1.35 on TAB. El Mahia is $7. Lindemann on the backup, $10. Full Count Felicia is $10 as well. So, obviously, you watch the replays of the other Yulong stablemate for Waller, the other international Full Count Felicia, and she's a horse that can get out and rolling. And I think that's going to suit Via Sestina a lot because she hasn't really been able to showcase her dominance so far this prep with a slowly run 1,400 metres and then a sort of even 1,600 metres. And she's third up. She gets 2,000 metres. This is her pet track. Pet trip. Maybe not track, but she did win this race last year. The map is fine from barrier two. I think she'll just be midfield somewhere along the rails and she should explode away and win. The Haggis horse is a genuine C grader, so I think he's under the odds and I would honestly have Faulkner Park a little bit closer. I thought he was really good first up.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Any thoughts?
She's $1.40 and she's probably going to run like 107. If they go quickly, she'll put a space in them probably. I don't know, like you put him in a multi, I guess. No, don't do that. I mean, if you want to. Don't tell me not to. Don't let me tell you not to.
Sign up and get better than even money with us. There you go. All in.
Sure. Yeah. I don't have much of... I don't know any about any of these other horses. But Falcon Park was really good first up, wasn't he? So if one's going to beat her, I'd say probably her. Probably him.
Yeah. It'd be awesome to see Faulkner Park go into the Tancred on the backup. I don't know if he'll do it, but...
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Nico, tomato sauce, coffees, yeah. whatever you like, put $10 on her and you'll be able to get something back.
Put whatever you want on her. She should be $1.10. These horses are no fucking good that she's racing against. Dead set. they wouldn't carry her stablemates' bags, let alone hers. She will win by as far as she wants to if the speed's on. She should be $1.10. She's going to win like Winx.
Well, you heard it here first. Can I ask you why you're getting a coffee at this ungodly hour when presumably you have to wake up early?
I've got radio notes to write and I want to watch the jumps trials from this morning. So I'm not going to bed anytime soon. And I was a little bit tired, so there's a little pep in the step. Dedication crazy. To the chase, Ben. Jump starts next Friday. The real racing starts next Friday. I've got work to do. I'm behind. I'm playing catch up.
Yeah. Well, so, you're a little bit sick in the head and you're only going to get about 4 hours sleep. So
That's okay. It's nothing out of the normal.
Yeah, that's a you problem. It's the one that I can't usually deal with, but I don't know. You're made of sterner stuff than me.
Built tough.
Race 6 is the Rose Hill Guineas at 2,000 metres. It is a group one for the three-year-olds. Broadsiding is into $1.90. Is that not a little bit yuck? Swift Falcon is $5. $2.15 best price. I'm just looking at the TAB odds. Swift Falcon, $5. Gold Rush Guru was obviously awesome in the Australian Guineas, $5.50. Aliana accepts here, $7.50. So whether that rules her out of the vinery next week, you'd probably suggest it might, but I don't know.
Could
back up, or Waller could scratch her on the day. Who knows? Plymouth, $17 and Checkmate, $18. This is a tough one because broadsiding could come out.
It's not tough at all, Ben.
All right, you go first and don't grey up the listeners, and I'll sort of state the case of my greyness after.
All right, well, broadsiding's my best bet of the day. I'm happy to forgive last start. I think there was some genuine excuses. If we wind back the clock a few years, Animo also got beat in a round with Guineas. He's the little brother to Animo, and he'll be winning this race. He's the best three-year-old colt in the country. He'll announce himself. I think he's racing like a horse who wants 2,000 metres now. Again, like Bea Sestina, he's just better than his rivals. Gold Rush Guru, give me a spell. And Swift Falcon, well, I'm not a big Swift Falcon guy. I don't think he's much chop either. I think broadsiding will win. I think even money is fair. I would like better. Don't know if I'm going to get it, but it's not going to put me off from backing him. I think even money, rightfully so. The bookies got blessed last start when he got rolled, and they're not taking a gamble because they know that he's a moral on Saturday. Best bet of the day, fill your boots.
Great. And just quickly, full time at the G was about 5 to 10 minutes ago, and the Hawks have beaten the Blues by 20 points. Blues were gallant enough, but I took $1.40 in multis for Hawthorn, so I'm not totally mad about it. They were just a little bit too skillful and too good. Back to the racing, Rosehill Guineas. Broadsiding. If Private Harry wins, then broadsiding losing the Randwick Guineas is potentially going to cost me a five-figure collect, and that's just sickening. I just don't like how he didn't get past linebacker. Second up, he had every chance. I know it was second up on a fast tempo and he still ran well. I was just a little bit worried about that going to 2,000 metres now. I know he did run third in a Cox Plate, but it's probably still a box he needs to double confirm himself at. And the other thing is he obviously won first up last preparation in the Golden Rose and then he tapered off a little bit. So I probably wouldn't take the current price. They might back some others and he gets out to a more appealing price. Swift Falcon.
Well, you just bet again.
Take this tip though, punters. Take Swift Falcon to win. Just have something small on to win this into the Doncaster Mile. He might still get into the Donny if he doesn't win this, if he runs top three, but if he wins, then he's definitely in. And he'll be probably $6 favourite in the Donny. And you can currently get $41 the double for him to win this race and the Donny on tab. So
the only thing that Swift Falcon will be winning is maybe a meat tray at the Donny Hotel. Fair dinkum, Ben.
I think if you get 230 broadside, that's probably a fair bet.
Yeah.
And that's coming from someone who hates him, punters. Remember that.
I don't hate him.
And the other one I've had something on is Checkmate, their New Zealand horse, just a bit of DF at $26. He obviously ran third behind Damask Rose. And what's the price, Kent horse? They ran second. In the NZB Kiwi, you were there, Nick.
Public attention.
No, that's...
Not
price, Kent. Evaporate, sorry.
Mick D's still kissing the grandstand rail.
The Hayes horse who ran second, Price Kent had public attention. Yeah, he ran well there, and I think he's a horse who might run a strong 2,000 metres by Mongolian Khan. Probably been brought here for the Derby, but yeah, I think he'll run very, very well here. Aliana, Gold Rush Guru. I think Aliana is potentially, I'm really excited to see her at 2,000 metres, but yeah, it's just a bit of a grey race. I don't think I'll be investing heavily into it at this stage at the current prices. All right, race 7, George Ryder Stakes, 1,500 metres, Group 1. Gee, this is a fantastic race. This is a much better field than the All-Star Mile. Fangirl's $3 favourite. From Royal Patronage, $4.20. Chaowulf, $5.50. Tom Kitten's been well-backed into $6.50 off the All-Star Mile win, and Gringotts, $10, as well as Steffi Magnetica. Fangirl keeps drawing wide every time she gets J-Mac on, but I think she's still the one. She's going to get her dry track. Her form has been really good this preparation without absolutely blowing the socks off your feet, but I don't think this is going to be a really fast run race. She should just use a turn of foot. Royal Patronage goes forward.
I think what they want to do is roll on it.
On who? Royal Patronage?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only speed. So he might go steady, but I don't know. If Rose Hill was playing like it was last week, and those inside lanes are off and you want to be coming down the outside, I think Fangirl gets her chance. So $3.30 is the top price for her. I think that's probably fair. Chaowulf can definitely bounce back. He ran okay in that Canterbury Stakes, but back to 1,300 metres just wasn't suitable. And Tom Kitten, he's drawn wide. $9 probably would have been a bet. $6.50 is probably about right. What were your thoughts, Bot? Did you like the gay horse?
Nah, Chaowulf.
Yeah.
I think he's the best horse in the race. And if they go quickly, I think he'll kick their heads in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do have a few results going at the moment. I've got Via Sestina into Chaowulf. But yeah, I probably would have Fangirl on top from Chaowulf. That's my top two. Nico.
This is probably my least confidence of all the Group 1 races. I'm with Fangirl. I think she deserves to be favourite. I think she's going to be extremely hard to beat. But yeah, it's just a bit... I've just got a bit of a funny feeling for some reason. Sometimes these races can play a bit funny. She gets J-Mac on her back, so that'll help. But yeah, I don't know. All this hype about Chaowulf, he'd want to come out and start doing something. There's a lot of hype on this horse. He's won one race of note, which was the King Charles. And
he's a Doncaster.
Wait for age race.
The Epsom. On the Epsom.
Wait for age race. Big boy race. None of this handicap rubbish. And I think he needs to step up. There's a lot of hype about this horse. There's a lot of people that were saying that he's going to be the best horse in the country. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. Well, at the moment, he's not carrying Via Sestina's bags either. So I would like to see him come out and do something, because I would like to see some opposition. And I would like for some horses to be somewhat of a threat in the betting sphere so I get better prices about Via Sestina. I'm happy with Fangirl on top. It's just a bet. It's nothing silly.
Yeah. Fangirl's problem is she's drawn 9. She's going to get back. It's going to be a little bit heart in your mouth at some stage in the race, but...
Fangirl's problem is I'm never really on the right side of her. When I back her, she gets beat. When I don't back her, she wins.
That's your problem with every horse.
No, not really. I don't hate Fangirl, though. I hate a lot of horses, but not Fangirl. I'm getting better.
She hasn't hit her absolute peak form. Like that Apollo Stakes win and that King Charles win, that is like the best of Fangirl. She hasn't
been
back to that. and she might not ever, but what she's doing right now is still, what she's doing right now is still good enough to win. And if she didn't miss the start in the Very Elegant Stakes, you can argue she might have gone a little bit closer to giving Via Sestina something to think about. She did get to her flank, but Via Sestina was just a little bit tougher.
Yeah, well, she got to my heart. I know that much. I was in all sorts when I thought she was going to whoosh on by.
No, I knew Via was kicking back.
There's no way Fangirl's going past Via Sestina. Fair dinkum.
No, I could tell she was starting to kick back at the 100. All right, let's move on to the day's feature. It's a $5 million 2-year-old race, 1,200 metres. It's the Golden Slipper. It's the best 2-year-old race in the world. It's run at set weights, conditions, which means the boys get in with 56.5 kilos and the girls get 54.5 kilos. The map is so crucial. Sorry, I'll go through the market first. Woden, $4.80. Tempted, $5. Skyhook, $8.50. Revelino, $10. Mahuna, $10. Devil Knight, the Blue Diamond winner, $12. Within the Law, $12. And North England, $19. As well as Tycoon Star. The map in Golden Slippers is so, so crucial. And the interesting thing is there isn't much speed drawn immediately towards the fence. So North England should just about lead this from barrier 9. I think Mahuna and Skyhook will be right there, and I think their maps are really, really good. Devil Knight, Military Tycoon, Bayvact, and Balazane, they all want to be forward, but a lot of this speed is drawn outside. So I'm thinking it's going to be quite a high-pressure slipper. The two horses that I've backed at early prices are Woden. I got him at $17 before he even debuted, and also Bayvact. I've got him at 50-1. He's blown out to that price now after drawing a terrible gate. But the horse I am going to have on top, final field, and we're tipping to people who aren't invested on the race yet, is Skyhook. I thought his win last week was really, really good. It's one of the better ratings for 2-year-olds. He rated to 96.9, and it was only a moderately run race, and he just had his own way up in front. So I think that's actually a good setup for the backup. A slowly run race, zip home, come here, you draw barrier 8, you get the perfect map. It's a very, very simple ride for Kerry McAvoy. And I would mark him a little bit shorter than $8.50. The start before, he was a moral beaten behind Revelino, held up on the fence, and then he dashed up the inside. And in my opinion, I think he just looks the most bomb-proof one. Woden has been a little bit disappointing. He had every chance last start. He still ran well, but in the end, he was pants by Tentress. Tempton barrier 1, is she going to find the right spot? So, yeah, Mahuna gets a nice run as well, but Skyhook is actually on top for me. Nico, do you have any thoughts on the slipper?
I'm fearful that the best horse in this race might be over the top. That's the horse that I want to cheer for, and that's Wondersen. I've got no doubt about it that he's the best horse in the race, but I don't exactly love that he's probably shown signs that he's come off that figure that he put up first up that had us all raving about him. But I also think that this is like essentially third up. It's grand final day. The winkers are on. J-Mac's on. You're going to be in the right spot. Even though they're riding him back, rails in run and close to the fence is going to be the spot that you want to be. History says for Bot. And it means something, especially in this race.
History says.
Yeah, well, I hope Wellington comes out and wins and silences a few people, because he's gone from a horse that everyone really liked to now he's got his fair share of knockers for whatever reason. He was still gallant last start. I know he lost. I was on him. Yes, of course it hurts, but that's racing. They don't always win. I'm hopeful that he comes out and wins. But outside of him, it's a very, very open year. It wouldn't surprise me if anything won this race, to be honest. But, I'm cheering for Wellington, but from a financial perspective, I'm not really invested.
Yeah. I think finding the slipper winner is it's always
the hardest
about
race
finding
of the year.
Yeah. It's not probably outside the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah. Well.
it's not always about finding the best horse. It's about finding the horse that, that is set to peak on this day and run the best rating on this day. And like horses like Shinzo, he was on the backup. A horse like Farnan just hit peak form at the right time. And that's the reason I've got Skyhook on top. I just think he's come from left field, and what he did last week was kick their heads in, and potentially with more pressure, he might be even better suited on the backup. So the backup can go one of two ways for two-year-olds. I know last week was a hot week. They can absolutely melt the, you know, trying to repeat that performance within 7 days. But if he doesn't, then I struggled to see him not running top three or four if he repeats what he did last week. All right, let's move on to the Galaxy Group
can
one.
Can I say something?
Oh, sorry, mate. You go.
The Blue Diamond winner.
Devil Knight.
Nice horse. Yeah, Devil Knight. I think he's a nice horse. Bivouac in German. 50-1. He won the Silver Slipper. He was very wide working last time. You know, it's easily forgivable, I guess.
He's six Barry 16 is a reason.
Yeah, still, who cares?
Bot doesn't believe in barriers.
Oh, just point and shoot, mate. Military Tycoon is a real nice horse.
Point and shoot, carve up 6 wide on speed, but Bot told me to go forward. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
50-1, mate. Who cares? It's 17.
Oh, well, yeah, that's fine. He can go forward, point and shoot, and he'll be gasping for air up the rise. He'll be gone.
Sweet. Or he could win 50-1. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if there is a rise at Rosehill.
Well, there'll be rise because they'll be all going backwards. There'll be a hill coming up because they'll be all stopping. He'll need a trampoline to jump over him.
Yeah, I think probably with Waterton, whatever his name is. I think he's looking for a mile, and he got like a really softly run race. He was able to flow early on debut and sprint home really quickly. Just because, you know, and the two races since he's been out of his comfort zone trying to keep up at 6 furlongs. I think he's better suited at 7 to 8 furlongs, and he's by Wooden Bassett. So that makes sense. So I don't think he should be favourite. But, you know, it'd be awesome to see him win because he's well-bred and all that sort of stuff. I think if one's going to space him, it'll be Woden. But, yeah, this Mahuna has been well-backed.
Yeah,
she's good on speed. Last start, I've heard a couple of people kicking up for her. She's a nice filly, but you know, it might come up a bit soon for her. But yeah, I think Military Tycoon, who we backed last time at Flemington, is a really nice horse. So, you know, 30-1.
It's very
easy. It's like even been such a tough race.
Rivellino is unbeaten, hasn't done much wrong. But I thought Skyhook was probably the better run in defeat last time. And yeah. Who knows? I'm pulling on Devil Knight's tail because there was $26 for her to run a place. So for him to run a place in the all-ins, and I missed it on Dabble. So pulling on its tail. Didn't think it was actually going to back it up. But anyway, let's move on to the Galaxy. Private Harry is $3.20 favorite in this group one for a mil over 1,100 meters. It is handicap conditions, of course. He gets him with 53. Commemorative is $6.50. Briassa, $7. Growing Empire, $8. Could Be Gone. IME is $11. Front Page, $16. Jetabil, $17. I'll let you go first, Nico, because you're pretty keen.
Yeah, I think Private Harry's a serious animal. I think he will win the Galaxy on Saturday, and I think he'll rightfully be the TJ Smith Stakes favourite. Bot doesn't like this horse, punters, for what it's worth. He doesn't think this horse is any good. So maybe after he wins a TJ, Bot might finally start putting a bit of respect in his name that he deserves. But this is a serious animal who's done it all in one preparation. Like the form is just immaculate. Like Lady of Camelot has been running super, super, super every run this preparation. And he made her look silly, really, on the Gold Coast. And that was at the end of his first preparation. I'm sure he's come back bigger, stronger, and better. He'll need to be because it's going to get harder. But I think you'd be wise to say that we've seen his ceiling. And, I think I think everything works out perfect. I can't understand how people are sticking up for Bryasa because he's drawn 16. I suppose it's just point and shoot, though, Ben. Just go forward. He's got none from the barrier. And commemorative, a horse that I've always had a lot of time for. I also can't understand how people are sticking up for her because she's a horse that is a jumbo jet, which I like to call her. She needs room, and she is not going to get room from barrier two. So, I can't understand how anyone's sticking up for her. I think the main danger to Private Harry is Front Page. And if Private Harry is going to be some sort of potential animal, well, he would want to be cutting up Front Page.
He'd want to beat Front Page.
And eating him for breakfast, lunch and dinner. So, yeah, I'm really keen, Private Harry. I think you're getting a more than fair price. This looks a fantastic, fantastic bet.
Yep. I've got Private Harry on top as well. $3.40 current best price. If we get a little bit better, that would be enticing. I just think things really set up well for him here. He's drawn barrier six. He's been kept fresh, 1,100 metres. All these trials have been good. He's a fast horse. He always trials well. But he just maps perfectly from barrier six. He's probably going to find just about the 1-1, I would imagine. He's going to go forward. Commemorative is going to be locked away on the fence from barrier two. And Bryasa, what do they do with Bryasa from barrier 15? I'm really not sure. Their best hope is to be three wide running line midfield, but that is asking a lot. And I just think Private Harry is going to get the most economical run. He's obviously got to step it up from what he's been doing recently, but yeah, that win over Lady of Camelot, I was a little bit suspect on just how good he was, but that was a sensational win. Lady of Camelot was held up a little bit in behind, but you can only do what you can do, and he won the race and he won it well. He's unbeaten, he's still untapped, and the sky is the limit. So he's clearly on top for me, but two horses you need to have in your quaddy, you also need to back at bigger prices. I agree with Nico. Front Page, he placed in this race last year. He was only beaten a long neck by Zapateo. He led the race. This horse is an absolute bomb fresh. His first up record reads 10 starts for 5 wins, 3 placings, and then he falls off a bit of a cliff second up with only 9 starts for 1 win and 2 placings. So he's best kept fresh. He draws barrier 5. He's going to go straight to the front with Tim Clark on board, who just knows how to rate them. And he's definitely a threat. I think he can run top 3. And Jedabil, well, this was an enormous return by Jedabil. Beat Komochi and beat IME. Kicked their heads in, really. That was at Weight for Age in the Challenge Stakes. Carried 58.5. Got the split from barrier 1 and won dominantly. And at the weights, I know he gets him with 56.5 kilos. It's not the easiest thing, but look, he's already proven himself at the Weight for Age level. And that rating he ran last start has him running top 3 again in this. So barrier 12, a little bit awkward, but I just think he's going to run super. So those are the two roughies that you need to be including in your quaddy. IME and Growing Empire, you definitely have to question just how well they're going. So I think it's the top from sort of a few roughies. All right, yeah, race. Sorry, what? Keep chopping you off.
Nico reckons I hate this horse because it's consistently underpriced. Or not consistently, underpriced here. $3.50, honestly.
How can you say something is consistently underpriced when it's unbeaten from 4 starts?
No, sorry, not consistently underpriced. I mean underpriced here.
Like, and beat the champion 2-year-old.
The opinion I think people have of this horse is like getting carried away. Like $3.50.
Who's he gonna beat?
I think
it's a handicap.
This is not a vintage Group 1 field.
I know, but he's just not a 350 chance.
Oh, well, that's right. When he smacks his slot up, then he smacks up Jolly Star. I hope you give him the respect.
I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah, well, you will be. Egg's going to be straight over your face. And I'm going to crack it over.
I think
he's
more like a $6 chance.
Oh, well, give me $6 then.
No. Well, sure. How much do you want on?
State your case, bot.
As much as I can have on.
Right, yeah. Commemorative, I think, is just as good a chance as it.
Should be stuck on the runway.
Yeah, he maps well, but he'd want a mat well.
He'd want a mat well.
$3.50.
Oh, fair dinkum.
I think even a horse like Marzu can improve.
Oh, fuck. All right, time to move on.
Oh, God,
no,
Ben.
Marzu said, no.
Cut his mic.
Growing, I think Growing Empire as well. I think he's just as good a horse as Private Harry. No, he shouldn't.
Yes,
Private Harry is a nice. I mean, sorry. Growing Empire, I think he's.
Oh, I don't think he should be 80 to 1. But...
Growing Empire goes as good as you do under pressure, Bot. You melt.
I took I took 17s Growing Empire just because I knew he was coming here and J Mac's on, so I've got something on him, but
needs more than J Mac.
Yeah, he is poorly weighted. Very poorly weighted for a 3 year old.
So is Papa Harry, but
let's not go down this rabbit hole. Let's move on.
Right,
race 10. We got one more. Outback Miss is the $2.60 favorite in our 1,200 meter group three. Is the birthday card stakes. Commemorative and Autumn Glow were key scratchings soon after acceptance time. Spring Lee is $6.50. Wool Wooluwin, $6.50. Big rating win at the end of last preparation. And then you're out to She's and A-Lister, $7.50. And Rose Bloom, $8.50. Well, the $3 has been taken on Outback Miss. I didn't back her yet, Nico, so I'm a little bit disturbed about that. But on top?
Yeah, on top. I'm dirty because it was like 3:40 this morning and I was like, oh, she's just going to hold here, is she?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's a bit deflating, but I think she'll win. I was not worried. I was happy to back her when Commemorative was in the race, and I love Commemorative, but... just can't have her from these inside barriers. Like, it's just ludicrous. Whatever. Epic Miss, rock hard fit, fourth up, going absolutely super. Obviously, just got beat by Commemorative last start, but was happy to think that she could turn the tables. She's, she looks like the penny's finally dropped with Epic Miss this preparation. She's always been a horse that's possessed a lot of ability, but it looks like it's finally all starting to click for her. So, yeah, I think especially now with Commemorative out of the race, you have to take a little bit less of a price. But, I just think it looks a very, very good race for her.
Yeah, agree with all the above. She was held up a little bit behind Commemorative last start. Never would have won the race. Commemorative was way too good with just that. A booming acceleration she showed down the outside of the track. As Nico said, she's a horse who likes a bit of room. But Outback Miss was super, running second there. She sort of came from off-Broadway, winning a couple benchmark 72s, and there always was the question mark of, is she that good? Is she going to be able to step up to this group-level mare's grade? And she did exactly that. I think she maps well from barrier two. Her recent rating does have her on top, and... she probably only has to beat Spring Lee, who can mix her form a little bit. Outback Miss on top, but I wouldn't be betting $2.60. I would want a little bit better than that. All right, that's it. Around the grounds, anything else? Friday, Sunday, Thursday?
Nah, mate. Haven't looked yet.
Thursday's only got 1 hour left, but Nico's staying up. There might be some jumps internationally.
No, there's no jumps. They're worse. The international jumps races are worse than the international flat races. You reckon they take turns? Shit,
ain't it? Cheltenham was an absolute strip out. Just go on the racing bloggers page.
I had two bets at Cheltenham.
Oh, that was good content.
Oh, it was brilliant.
I had two bets at Cheltenham, and I don't think I'll ever bet over there again.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I backed Galloping to the Champs on the last day. And
Galloping to Champs.
That's said like a true Aussie.
And the jockey in the post-race interview said, after 50 metres, I knew that we couldn't win. He didn't feel like participating today. The ground wasn't to his liking. I couldn't think how that would be received over here. I don't know how that would be received if Professor just goes after 50 metres. No, we weren't going to win today. He didn't really like the ground. No, that's not bad.
That stuff all the time.
No, that wouldn't be copped here.
What price was it?
$1.40.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. What open punter's got? Constitution Hill falling because his jockey was incompetent. but that won't
get state man that final is, hurdle.
His jockey won't get that won't get spoken about, but he was given a shit ride Constitution Hill.
But it doesn't help that he tries to take off from bloody 10 meters away, and he landed right in the middle of the hurdle one time.
Oh, okay, I'll give you my theory while we're talking about it. It'd be like restraining Stern Idol. That's exactly what he did. He restrained Constitution Hill. He put in two bad jumps in a row, and then he restrained him again. He took off early and smashed the jump. It was a complete jockey error. Don't do it. Just let him roll.
All right.
It's almost not Ben's birthday anymore.
The only race that you need to focus on in Hong Kong on Sunday is the Hong Kong Derby. It is their most prestigious race. It's worth about probably nearly 5 million Australian. Ruby Lot for David Hayes did win the lead up, which is the Hong Kong Classic Cup over 1800 meters. It would be great to see him run out a strong 2000 meters and get that big group on for David Hayes over there. I know he's got Kai Ying Rising, but he doesn't really have much else other than this horse. So hopefully he can get the big win. It's a very even greater race, but I'm cheering on Ruby Lot with Brenton Abdallah and David Hayes. And Johannes Brahms, I think, will run well again as well. My wish is the horse who split them last time, but he's drawn barrier 14, I believe. So that might make things a little bit more difficult for him. But one from three, those are the two horses that I've really been sticking with this whole four-year-old series. And hopefully one of them can win, Johannes Brahms or Ruby Lot. All right, we need a back, we need a lay, we need a pray. Will, you go first with your best bet? Clean slate.
The Dashing Duchess, I'll do. Or, yeah, Dashing Duchess. That could be my best bet.
What race is that?
Five. Private Harry, you can lay that. Just for the content.
Put up or shut up, and, idiot.
How much do you want on?
How much are you going to let me have on?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Back in the box.
And I don't know. I don't have a bigger one.
No worries, Dicko.
I'm laying Bot because he's a squib. Best bet for sliding. And I don't really have a pray. I'm just praying that Woden can win the slipper. Just for all the naysayers out there.
All right. I'll go. I'm not going to go the coward's way out and tip something odds on.
Well, just think about it because the podcast multi is only going to be our double because we're voiding him now after his recent.
Yeah, well, I can't go $1.40 versus Dana into $1.90.
Fucking oath.
I do think Autumn Glow will win. I do think Autumn Glow will win race four at Rose Hill. So that's probably what I would stick into a multi. But yeah, Shamwire is my best bet at Moonee Valley, race six, number two. A lay was really interesting. I was probably going to make my lay of the day Clean Energy in the last at Moonee Valley. In the 10th at Moonee Valley, but she's with every scratching that comes in, it makes me a little bit more nervous. And my best each way, I'll make it in the slipper, Skyhook. I think the place odds for Skyhook to run top three, if he doesn't, you know, completely go to shit and not handle the backup, and I think he can only run well. All right, couple questions before we wrap up proceedings. Boom Punting, Wilbot's tip of the week, aka Rogue AF.
I don't have any real out wide ones this week. I don't know.
Can you stand closer to the mic or something?
Sorry. I was gonna back the two-year-old in race two at Moonee Valley that won by 50 lengths at Pakenham. So that would have been that, but because that's not normally my sort of...
That helps precisely no one.
Yeah, I know.
Logan Coley says, prediction on how many wins the GOAT, James McDonald, gets on Saturday. I'm going to go with three.
Glow, Veya. Yeah, it could be anything, especially if Woden wins, Fangirl.
Broadsiding, Fangirl.
I'm going to go four.
Hinged.
Wash your mouth out, man.
Is she racing on Saturday?
Yeah.
Well, you should know. Chris DeCasta. You should know you love her so much.
Chris DeCasta says, biggest false favourite on the weekend.
Primary.
I reckon I'm gonna say Woten. Like I'm cheering him. I'm honestly cheering him.
He's not even gonna be favourite anyway.
Yeah, well he's favourite right now at the time of recording.
He'll start third favourite.
I don't think he should be favourite. And he is favourite on tab. He's actually a clear favourite on tab. He's $4.80, but he's longer with
It's because of the hold.
Yeah, probably. That's all right. Boom punting. Ben, now that Carlton are 0-2, will Vossi survive this season? This actually was this was an early crow. He said this 14 hours ago. So I'm sure he was feeling a little bit nervous when the Baggers got on a roll there and kicked four in a row. Yes. I think Vossi's in trouble. I don't think he's in as much trouble as Luke Sayers, but he's definitely in trouble. Nick Mugwalter, fan page. Ben, what is more likely? A Carlton win or a Nico Morrell getting up? Don't know. Probably a Nico Morrell getting up. My Baggers just, they don't know how to win. They don't know how to win.
Well, when does extra two lose.
Get another W? Went from a horse with a lot of promise to a nonny pretty quick. That's a little bit harsh. Yeah.
Who's that?
Extra two.
Nonny?
Deethy's shoving the boots in fucking extra two. She's a great Mooney Valley horse. I just think barrier one is a little bit sticky. All right, a couple more. Jack Geno, can we get a best bet from other race meets on Saturday, please? Nico and I will probably have a look at Ascot eventually, so we might put something on
it's a shitty on card.
If we find something there.
Probably just 2-3-year-old races for the Derby and Oaks lead up, and then there's a 2-year-old race as well. It's not very, it's very Abbey this week.
Yeah, right.
But if I find anything, we'll mention it.
Maybe we won't.
Tune into the form match tomorrow and listen to Terry's set. He'll find your winners in Ascot.
Are they racing at Benalla on Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm sure Bod will find something.
I'll find something. Oh,
yeah.
Something
for you to lay past.
Jack Genome. Got another one. Do you agree with what Wayne Hawks said about Chey Wolf?
No.
I don't agree. Nico sort of agrees a little bit.
Well, I don't think it's... Wayne likes the horse. I think Wayne's exactly right in what he's saying. All this hype's there. It's time for him to step up and do it. I agree with
Jackson that. Kirkwood is broadsiding silly unders. Swift Falcon, Gold Rush Guru, etc. all look better priced. No.
Enjoy your donation, brother.
It's not that bad. I don't know.
You've softened a bit, Bot. I thought you were like against
broadside. Well, last start, he was $1.60. Now I think that $2.30 almost is. I think that's a fair bet.
Yeah, all right. That's fair. I think odds on is a little bit skinny, but. He can win. It's just the race has got me great up. Come out and prove me wrong, broadsiding. Third up 2,000, go bang, and I'll be back in your corner with full confidence. Anthony Rowe, on checkmate in the Guineas at $26 and $6.50. Do you give it a chance? Yes, I do. And I think those place odds are actually pretty decent, $6.50. But he's got to get past Aliana, Swift Falcon, Gold Rush Guru, and broadsiding to get the win. So. It's got his work cut out. Ben, what do you think of the saying, drifted like a barge, says Deehy. I've never heard that saying, so I've got no comment on it. Lads, Private Harry got to be the lay of the weekend, yeah? Well, that's what Bot's saying. Nico and I are in his camp. Nathan, Deep Grond. Happy birthday, Benny. Reflecting on last week, what's Lazura's ceiling? Flown under the radar, in my opinion. Thank you, firstly. Reflect... I think she's a pretty good horse, Lazura, and she has been flying under the radar. And if she had been ridden by James McDonald last week, then she should have started favourite, and she would have started favourite over De Clichy Boulevard. That's just my opinion. She kicked her heads in. Was only a very, very soft tempo, but yeah, she's a horse if she goes to a race like the Queen of the Turf. She's a place chance. Jack Geno, where's Vauban go next start? Hopefully the Tancred.
And Dubai Honor's gonna murder him. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think they're equal $3.50 favourites all in. So
laughable.
Yeah, good laughable. Race. If it's wet, Dubai Honor will
if it's dry, it won't matter.
Yeah. Jack Jenner, who will be the number one horse of the autumn? I think it's Lady Shenandoah, isn't it? She's an unbeaten 3 out of 3. I mean, Via Sestina, if she comes out, blows them away the next two.
Treasure of the Moment's going to have something to say.
True, but she's not racing the same opposition that the other two are. She's like, Treasure of the Moment's up against nothing next week.
Well, that's...
Unless Aliana backs up.
Unless Aliana backs up, that's something, I guess.
It won't matter if Aliana backs up.
But can you, if you need to say something, you need to come forward and say it.
Sorry, yeah.
Coops, only a few more boys before we wrap up. Coops has got a couple. Ben, should Moonee Valley have more feature days in the autumn?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess we should, but we just don't have the races. Like, you can't just, like, these programs have been established over many, many years, and obviously there's more group ones and more group racing at Flemington and Caulfield, and then it's hard to, once things are set in stone in racing as we know, you can't just get Saturday Metro race days on the calendar. You can't just automatically get them. So those race clubs aren't going to be wanting to give up their key dates, and neither would we if we were in their position either. So if RV want to give us more, feature race days, then we'll take them. Potentially that might be a new thing when we get the new track and we're able to, run those better meetings with a better quality track. Coops, will this two-year-old crop turn into a good group of three-year-olds?
No.
Well, let's find out.
Worrying signs at the moment. But why did we not get a solo podcast last week? I want a repeat of the best racing previews podcast ever.
No. It would have been awful. I need Ben to steer the shit for me.
Is Matt Hill a better race?
Imagine an hour of bot dribble. Solo.
Is Matt Hill a better race caller or footy commentator?
He's a fantastic caller of football.
Ready? I'm just gonna play this through the mic. This was his call of Chera kicking.
To Koning. This guy. Taps it down, looking for Walsh. Comes out. Chera standing start. Chera standing start. They're all standing now.
How good is that? Chera standing start. They're all standing now. As all the Carlton supporters went up in the grandstand. Like, there is no other commentator who's just thinking of those things, like, on the spot. Obviously, yes, Chera.
They're all ex-footy players.
Yeah, they're all shit.
Put a sentence together.
Chera collected the ball and he was like literally not moving. So it was like Chera standing start, kicks the goal off one step, and the Carlton fans erupted. Like, no one does that sort of commentary other than Matt Hill. And the other one is, the last question is from Ryan Deeth. Michael Trotter, do you rate him as a trainer, Ben? I do rate Michael. Is this the one who has an Apache song?
Yeah.
No, he has Apache Song and Rumbled Again. Those are his two best horses. I do know who he is. Thank you very much. And he's done a great job of Rumbled Again. She's run really well in the Sunline Stakes the last few years. And Rumbled Again is lining up in the Sunline Stakes again on Saturday. So the horse who continually outruns her SP, and Apache Song is another one who's gone through the grades.
What a dumb fucking question.
Brilliant question. No, that was a brilliant question.
All right, for a Group 1 day, that could be one of our worst podcasts.
Oh. Yeah, it was.
But it's all right. There were genuine excuses. Forgive us. And good horses, you always forgive them one bad run. Exactly. Nico was in a car getting coffee. Will's mic was shit house. And it's my birthday and I was watching Carlton and I'm a little bit sick in the stomach because of how much cake I've eaten today. So those are our excuses. Punters, we'll be back here next week. We promise it'll be better and hopefully we can back plenty of rooms to make up for it. No, I will promise. We'll be better. Cheers, guys.
We'll be bolting it.
Yeah, Nico, go home and get some sleep. See you, punters.